perfect submission. All is at rest. I am my Savior, happy and blessed. I am watching. And I'm filled with his goodness, and I'm lost in his love. For
this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior.
Well, Curtis, it's good to be back with you again today.
Oh, it's always good to be back.
Yeah, still loving life. Amen.
Still loving
Amen.
Life.
Loving life. Well, I hope you enjoyed that song we just did for you, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. I love that.
I do
love
too.
The idea behind that. It's a kind of a long song, 5 minutes, I believe, that Brad told me. And, you know, I want to look again at that first verse. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Get that foretaste, a pretaste
just
of glory
bit.
Divine. Hour of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. I want to talk about something today that's not necessarily a popular subject, but if we have the right attitude and look at it from a biblical standpoint, it can be a very popular subject. I'm kind of, in a way, talking about physical death, the death of this body. These old bodies are going to decay. And we usually think of that in negative terms. When we think about death, it's usually a negative kind of a thing. My brother was sharing with me yesterday. He called me up and just talking. He said he had a woman at church that was really down in the dumps. She was in her 70s. I don't know exactly how old she was. But anyway, she was kind of down in the dumps. And she was telling him, she says, well, she says, about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years now, she says, this woman prophesied over me and told me I only have 3 years to live. Hmm. And it's already been 2 years. And my first thought was, I don't believe that prophecy was from the Lord.
I don't either.
I just don't believe that was from the Lord. Well, so he talked to her and whatever, counseled with her and so on, and trying to cheer her up. And then he talked to her sister. Her sister said, I was there. I heard that prophecy. That's not what the woman said. The woman told her, you have at least 3 years to live. Not that you only have three, but you have at least three.
That is a little different.
Yeah, that's quite a bit different. But sometimes people hear negatives more than they do positives. And I pray that today that as you listen to this message, you will hear positives, because that is certainly my intention today, is to make it a positive message. But we hear things like the death angel and you know, the grim reaper, and it kind of has a sound of something to be feared. But Paul tells us that death is no longer to be feared if you are a Christian, because Jesus has conquered death for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 56. Honestly, about the only time I ever hear this preached is around Easter, resurrection time. People talk about the resurrection of the dead. But Paul says in verse 54, death has been swallowed up in victory. In other words, death has been destroyed. In verse 55 says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I was privileged a few years ago to be in the hospital with one of the saints of God that was being called home. I will never, ever forget that experience. And I'll try to give you the short version of it. But this dear lady had gone into hospital to have a heart bypass surgery. And she seemed to be doing well as she was in the recovery process. They got her up to walk her around, and she fell while she was walking. And I don't know what happened. I'm not a doctor, but from that time on, she started going downhill. I don't know if it tore something loose or what happened in that situation. But anyway, I was in my office just a day or two after that. I'd been to see her in the hospital the day before, and she seemed to be doing well. And so I was in the office. We got a phone call that she had taken a turn for the worse. So it was about 20 miles to the hospital. I jumped in the car and headed that way. And while I was on the way, her husband called me and told me what was going on. So I got to the hospital. She had arrested seven times, and they would pump her up with epi, and they would shock her with the paddles. I watched this process seven times there while I was there in the hospital. We'd watch the monitors, and they'd get her pumped up, and everything would go up to normal. Her heart rate would come up, her blood pressure would come up, and we would sit there, and all of a sudden it would start dropping again. It dropped, everything dropped down to zero, and they would go through this process again. And finally, after seven times of this, the doctor called the family into a consultation room and talked with them and explained the situation, that, you know, there's really not any hope. We can't really save her at this point. And so they said, well, we're not going to shock her anymore. We're just going to let God do what God does. So we're all sitting there in the room. The family is gathered in. I don't know how many people were in that room. And I remember sitting there on a couch right by her bed, where I could see the monitors and the numbers kept dropping. The doctor was there watching everything. And all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Spirit come into that room. God sent His angels. I really believe Jesus Himself came that day. Mm. I can never put it into words what I felt that day. And the thought came to my mind, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And I'll tell you, I've been in a room with a lot of different people that are dying, that's been called home, and there have been some I've had no doubt about. But I want to tell you, I have never, ever experienced anything like I did that day. I knew God called her home before the doctor even called it. The doctor was watching everything and monitoring everything. And all this experience happened, and everybody in that room felt it. And I was thinking as I sat there, I don't know what the doctor's belief was. I don't know about the nurses that were in there. But anyone who was in that room who was not a believer would have had to have been a believer when they left that room, because the assurance was there. It was real. And I do wish I could put it into words what it really meant that day. And I've never forgot that experience. And I actually, when I preached that funeral, I titled the message Blessed Assurance. I've never put a title on a funeral message before or since, but that day I just felt I need to title this Blessed Assurance. If you have any doubts, I want to tell you Jesus is real. Well, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, I want to read this in the NIV and also in the King James Version. He says, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Maybe you're more familiar with it in the King James Version. Let's see what it says. Paul says, "For I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He goes on to say similar words, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Brother Curtis, I believe you had a comment there you wanted to put in on that.
There is a thought here, because Paul is saying that there, but in Philippians chapter 1, he said something totally different. Just kind of a little side note here. In Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 21, Paul writing once again, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I do not know."
Mm-hmm. What now, I shall choose.
What I shall choose. Now notice he says, "What I shall choose." Now he's saying, I've got a choice here.
Mm-hmm.
Most people say, you don't have anything to say about it. You know, I wrote, this is something that I wrote in my book that we offer to you if you want. This is just one of the things that I wrote about in the book. This is one of the passages that I use there. People say that you don't have anything to say about it. When your time's up, your time's up. Well, Paul disputes that here. He says, "What I shall choose, I want not or know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." So he says, I want to go. He says, that'd be far better for me to be with Christ. Nevertheless, verse 24, "To abide in the flesh is more needful for you."
Mm-hmm.
Now look at verse 25. "And having this confidence, I know."
Mm-hmm.
"I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." He says, I know I'm going to stay here for a while.
Uh-huh.
I'm not ready to go yet, because it's better for you that I stay, because your joy would be more full. So he says, I'm going to stay and teach you some more, because it's better mm-hmm. for you if I stay. So I know I'm going to stay. I'm not ready to go yet. But then still, and when he gets over to 2 Timothy, he says, now I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm,
I finished
right.
my course.
Uh-huh.
I fought the good fight of faith. I'm ready to go now, because my course is done. I'm done with my work now. So that's something you can hold on to, friend. Don't say that you're going to leave here before your time is up. No, you're going to go when your course is done. You're going to go when your fight is finished. When you have done the work that God's called you to do, then it's time for you to go, and not until. Don't say, you never know, just whenever your time's up, your time's up.
Mm-hmm.
No, you got something to say about it. Hold on to those promises there in Philippians chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's
Amen.
And if you'd like to read more about that, you can send a donation in and get the book and read about it. 50 pages that you can read in about an hour, and there's a whole lot more that I found out about that living long life here
mm-hmm.
on the earth.
You know, Curtis, I read that book, obviously, and I would recommend that to our listeners, that they get a copy of that. Your information is at the end of the program. For a donation, and just send it to Post Office Box 977, Nicholasville, Kentucky, 40356, and, we'll send you out one of those books, and we'd certainly like to have your feedback on it as well, see what you think about
Amen.
It. Because I will tell you, what is in that book is scriptural, but it's also some things in that book that's probably different than what you have been taught.
It absolutely
and,
is.
And here is a good example of that. And to read again what Curtis said, this is in the New International Version, verse 25 there in Philippians. It says, "Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you." But then in 2 Timothy, he says, "I am already being poured out." That's the NIV, but the King James says, "I am now ready to be offered." And So I think we do have a choice. Paul says, I don't know what to choose. He said, for me, it'd be better just go on and be with the Lord. But for you, it's better that I remain behind. And we have that blessed assurance. We have the assurance of knowing that when we trust in Him, you see, we have something to say in this matter.
We do.
Now, I preach a lot of times God is in control, but I do not mean that God has predestined everything that you say, everything that you do, that there's a certain time set aside for you to die, and there's nothing you can do to change any of that. I've heard people preach that kind of stuff. I believe that God allows us to make those decisions. Now, we can talk about God's control in different ways and things and whether or not God is controlled. I don't want to get off the subject. But let me put it this way. God is in control as much as you will allow Him to be, because God has allowed us to make that decision. So God is in control. He allows us to make a decision whether or not He's in control. That make any sense to you? I hope that it does. Because it's really up to us. We have choices. Everything in life is a choice. And according to what Paul is saying here, he even had a choice on whether or not he died right then. Now, that is amazing to me. Folks, don't give up. As long as you are breathing, as long as you are in your right mind, God can use you for His glory. And I don't even like to say the word use, because I'd rather say God will partner with you. God doesn't use us as sometimes people use people, but God partners with people to accomplish the Father's business. I want to talk a little bit more about what Timothy said, or what Paul said to Timothy. He said, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. We can read about the drink offering over in the Old Testament. There's a lot of scripture about that, about what the drink offering meant. But I want to look at some of the things that Paul meant. He wrote this while he was in prison, remember. And he knew that soon he would have his head chopped off. And if you can imagine what a horrible spectacle that was, there was a chopping block where the condemned man would kneel down. A big Roman soldier would stand over him with a broad axe. One swift blow and his head would roll off into a basket while his body would fall on the other side, trembling and jerking as the nerves were dying. It would be indeed a horrible scene. And Paul was saying, if this is all you see, you are missing the most important part. He recognized the chopping block as an altar where his life was to be poured out as a drink offering. There are many offerings that are mentioned in the Old Testament. One is the drink offering. They would sacrifice a bull. The priest would take a bull, and he would slaughter it, and he'd sacrifice it on the brazen altar. And it would be hot as it was being burned. Then the priest would pour wine over it as a drink offering. In the New Testament, Jesus tells us that the wine represents His blood that is to be poured out for us. When the wine hit the fire, it would immediately turn to steam and go up as a vapor. Paul says that his life in this world is but a vapor. He must be poured out so that all we see is Jesus, and He will be gone from this world. And he says, and the time has come for my departure. The word departure comes from a Greek word that means to be untied. It is mindful of a ship that is tied to the dock and is loose to depart on a journey. Paul is saying, I have been tied to this physical life. Now I am going to be loose to the spiritual and with no physical limitations. We are spiritual beings currently having a physical experience. Soon we will be free from the physical. Death for a Christian sets us free, but that is in God's time, not our own. Now, suicide does not set us free. It's up to God to set us free. Paul said, I've fought the good fight. Paul has been a soldier for the Savior. He has given his life for Christ and is more than willing to die for Him. This should be the attitude of every Christian in Eastern culture. If someone saves your life, you become their servant. Your life belongs to the person who saved you. Paul said, I have finished the race. Paul must have watched the Olympic Games. He often referred to life as a race. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, now go back and read chapter 11, you get that cloud of witnesses. He said, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Sometimes life seems to be an obstacle course. Sometimes it is a marathon where you don't run so fast but steady in order to finish. A few years ago, when I was just a young guy, I think I was about 56, 58, something like that, I ran a 5K race. I had never done that before. My trainer asked me, what is your goal as pertaining to this race? I said, my goal is to finish. I had never run a 5K. I always wanted to. I was in my late 50s, and I said, hey, I'm going to do this. I knew I wouldn't be the fastest. I hoped I wouldn't be the slowest, but I certainly did want to finish. Sometimes it's a relay race in which after we finish our leg of the race, we pass the baton to another. Paul passed his baton on to Timothy. But as I think about that 5K race when I ran that, I remember the person that won the race finished in about 18 minutes or something like that, and that's actually slow for a 5K. He just ran fast enough to stay ahead of everybody else. But there was one woman that I knew that went to the same gym that I did. She finished in something like 46 minutes and something. I can't remember now. I mean, she was way behind everybody else, but she finished. And she told me, she said, I was so excited I couldn't sleep for the next three nights because I finished that race. Folks, it's not always how fast you run, but it's whether or not you finish. Paul had finished his race. He had finished his course. He had kept the faith. And he goes on to say, I've kept the faith. Just as important as finishing the race is how you run it. When I ran the 5K, I passed a young guy. He was probably in early 30s. I don't know exactly how old he was. He was about halfway through the race, and I passed him. I wasn't trying to beat anybody, but I just passed him and went on. And then about the last half mile of the race, I saw him come out on the street ahead of me. He had taken a shortcut. He cheated. He finished right ahead of me, but I knew that I won. You see, Paul said, I have been faithful to the course laid out for me. This guy cheated. He wasn't faithful to the course. I have been true to the word, Paul says. We have all known people who started out for the Lord but got sidetracked. Some have compromised the faith. Others have left it altogether. Paul said, I have kept the faith. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 25. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. He said, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me, not for me only, but for all those who long for his appearing. Now, the Bible teaches many different crowns. There's a soul winner's crown. There's a martyr's crown. There's a crown of glory, a crown of life. And, you know, if we read the book of Revelations, we find that the 24 elders around the throne laid their crowns at the feet of Jesus in an act of worship. Brother Curtis, you feel like singing for us today? Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh,
blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
We want to thank those of you who support us financially and prayerfully. We have a special offer for you. For those who would give a donation of $20 to the ministry, we have a CD of the Love and Life Trio, and you've heard the song No Fire in the Pulpit on there, and there's other songs on there that you'll be hearing. But for everyone who give a $20 donation, we have that CD for you that we'll get out to you. And then also, if you don't want the CD, I've also written a book about long life, longevity. How long are we supposed to live? Have you ever heard somebody say something like this? Well, you never know when your time's up. When your time's up, your time's up. Can I tell you that that's not biblical, and the Bible does have something to say about it? You ask people, how long is man supposed to live? And they'll say, well, 60 to 70 years. Can I tell you that's not what the Bible says? It is in there, but that's not a reference to what God says about how long we're supposed to live. And so I sat down and did a one-year study on longevity according to what the Bible says. And so I wrote a little 50-page book on it. And if you'll give a $20 donation, you can get the book. You can have the CD or the book. But if you want both, for a $30 donation, we give you both of those and get them out in the mail to you. Thank you once again for your financial and prayerful support. Thanks for listening to this segment of Loving Life, sponsored by Loving Life Ministries. We are available for concerts, revivals, special services, or maybe your pastor just needs a day off. Just give us a call at 859-396-9430. Or if this program has been a blessing to you, drop us a card or a letter to Loving Life, Post Office Box 977, Nicholasville, Kentucky. That's Loving Life at Post Office Box 977, Nicholasville, Kentucky, 40356. We do appreciate your prayers and financial support for this ministry.
I'm T.J. Matthews, and your Central Kentucky forecast is brought to you in part by eBusinessReportLexington.com. Free resources to help you grow your business. For today, sunny, high 37, west wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Winds become southerly and light overnight with clear skies, low 25. Tomorrow, Sunday, sunny, high 58. Showers likely Sunday night into Monday morning, blustery with a low down to 45. There's your forecast from the WeatherBug Center at 770 a.m. and 93.3 FM, The Eagle.
Hi, John Yinger here, Christian Broadcasting System. Thanks for being a listener to WCGW. For over half a century, we've been providing free Christian radio to you, our listener, and happy to do so. Free, meaning that we do not ask you to contribute to us. What we do ask is that you financially support the ministries that you enjoy on this station and to do business with our advertisers should you need their products or services. These two actions on your part will keep your favorite Christian radio station on the air for years to come. WCGW has always been a vital part of ministering to your friends, family, and neighbors, reaching many lost and unchurched. Always mention to the ministries and business people that you listen to WCGW. Thanks for listening and for your support. God bless.
We're all looking to quench our thirst with something cool and delicious. How about making it refreshing, healthy Hybrid spring water? Sounds great, doesn't it? Call Hybrid today at 858-4407 and have an attractive Hybrid water cooler delivered to your home. Your family will love cool, refreshing Hybrid Springs water. A Hybrid cooler is great for the office as well, or if you prefer, the Hybrid staff will be happy to discuss its top-of-the-line filtration systems with you. Call Hybrid today at 858-4407 and get your Hybrid water cooler or filtration system today.
WCGW, Nicholasville, The Eagle 93.3 FM and 770 AM, a Christian Broadcasting System station.
The following program is sponsored by Focus on the Family.
Welcome to Focus on the Family's weekend broadcast. We hope the following program will challenge you